Thank you. Welcome. Happy Canada Day. We're glad you took the time. You know, whatever we do has a cost. You could be down on the beach. You could be in your bed, horizontal. You chose to come here. That's a gain. We're going to talk about that. Giving all to gain. You want to gain, you got to give up something. Okay, anyway, we'll get there. Okay, usually we get somebody to read, and we do this morning. I'm going to invite Mary to come up and do our Bible reading for us this morning. We're in Matthew 13. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, church.
Morning.
My name is Mary. This is a picture, my family, David, my husband, Amy, my daughter, and Jack, my son. We come from China. We lived in Toronto more than 1 year. We will leave soon this month.
Oh.
Yes. Today is a special day, Happy Canada Day.
Thank you.
Now I read the Bible. Matthew 31st. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like grains of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests its branches." Yeah. He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like the leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour, till it was all the leaven." Yeah. 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Okay. All right. We're good. We're in our series in Matthew. And we come actually to what people consider the heart of Matthew, center. And actually, the whole chapter has parables. We are at the center of the center of Matthew. That is, in this, we have two pairs of parables, you may have noticed. And this is the center of the center of Matthew. I think it's good for us. Okay, two pairs. One pair on God's side, the side of what God can do. One pair on our side, what's our response? God's side, our side. When God's side and our side come together, we're all good. Good things happen. All right, so we're here today. Okay, so Jesus told a number of parables. Some he explained, others we're left to figure out what they mean, and we have to consider what's the best. Okay, these are very brief. First pair's like this, right? I think we read it. It says, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven, what Jesus came to do, came to bring in, came to bring you and I into God's kingdom on earth. The kingdom is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it grows, it is larger than all the garden plants, becomes a tree, so the birds of the air make nests in its branches. That's number one. The kingdom is like a seed. The seed of a particular plant is the mustard seed. In Israel, go back 2,000 years, at that time, in common knowledge, understanding, the mustard plant that they dealt with had the smallest seed. Yet, when it was planted, it became large. Now, we read this in our context. Jesus was not in North America. He was not in the 21st century. He is not going to Loblaws, no frills, and asking for mustard greens. right? You and I might do that. So we're used to a certain kind of mustard plants, mustard greens. No, this is not North America. This is Middle East, right? First century. They had a different kind of mustard that they were familiar with, okay, which is like this. Here's a picture to show you. So, okay, some people look at this parable and say, because they're thinking of what you find in the grocery store, they're thinking of the kind of mustard that you and I are familiar with, and they say, something's wrong. This is a mutation. This is a freak of nature for a small, you know, what should be a small plant to become a giant tree. It's a freak. No, that's why we should go back, and people do that, study the other writings from that period of time and realize in the Eastern Mediterranean, first century, this is the kind of mustard they were familiar with, okay? And in the material, we describe that. So, actually, this is not a mutation. It's not a freak. It's not, out of bounds. This, Jesus used everyday things. What is God's kingdom like? Answer, it's like what they considered the smallest seed, yet surprisingly maybe in comparison, the smallest seed actually became produced the largest plant, becoming a bush, if you like, a tree, and the birds went there, okay? God's kingdom is like that, Jesus said. What are we supposed to get from that? We're supposed to realize God's kingdom may start small. And with Jesus, you know, the Jews were expecting something else. Jesus did not say, God's kingdom is coming like a meteorite. When a meteorite strikes the earth, it shakes up everything, destroys everything, and we start over. Right? He could have said that. And that's somewhat what people were expecting. Instead, Jesus said, no, you've got to adjust your expectations to a lot of his audience. It doesn't start out like a meteorite, a grand, you know, cosmic event. No, God's kingdom starts out small, tiny. Yet, within that small element, there's a life, there's a power in there that can produce something sizable. Yes, eventually you'll get something sizable, significant, right? Observable, right? Which is hard to miss, but it starts out small. That's God's life. God's life, God's power, God's spirit starts out small. With Jesus, it was small. That's the point that at Jesus' time. Jesus was there and not... only a minority of people accepted, received, and you got the 12 disciples plus more. It's not huge. It's not dramatic. It's starting out small. But Jesus is saying, as surely as a mustard seed produces a sizable plant, so what started with Jesus will produce something sizable. You just got to wait. It's in the power, in the life element that is with God, with God's life, and came to us in Jesus Christ. It starts small, but it has power. From the seed, as long as you got the seed, you get the tree. You get the plant. Amen? Even with you and I, it may start small, right? It may not be that dramatic. It may not be that dramatic, but if God's life, God's power, God's spirit is there, it can produce something significant. So, as the Old Testament says, don't despise the day of small things. Things start small. If God is involved, it will grow, it will increase, it will produce something significant, sizable, impressive. That's God's life, God's power. You know, so Solomon invited you to encouraged us to attend a community group. You know, you may go to a community group, you may not be that impressed. You go there's 6, 8, 10, 12 people. You look around. They are a motley crew. Right? I speak for myself. You know, you come to our group, you know, it may be a little bit messy. You come to our house, the dog keeps coming in and out. He wants to greet the kids come. The dog likes the kids. The dog goes out. 2 minutes later, he barks. He wants to come back in. You say, what's going on? These people can't control. The meeting may not start out that, you know, it may not be that formal, that impressive. It's small. Then you look at the people and you may say, well, you know, they talk about this situation. You may say, oh, this person has problems. That person has issues. This person's not impressive. What is this? Answer, this is God's family. Maybe your community, I'm sorry, I don't want to paint every community group. Maybe your community group is wonderful, flawless. I'm just talking about mine. Maybe, you know, it applies to you. Yes, you know, there's different people, different situations, different going through different things. But if God's life is there, something significant is there, it will happen. Amen? Yeah. Right? It's not, you say, outwardly, it's not that impressive. Right? You want real impressive people, famous people. They're not in my community group. I don't think they're in yours. You know, Justin Bieber shows up. That's a different story. He's not in mine. Is he in yours? No, okay. We are unimpressive people, but if God's life is there, God's power is there, something significant will happen. It will grow. It will grow. Amen? You'll be encouraged. You know, God's life starts small. It has the power to grow big. That's, let me just put in a plug here. September, we're going small so that we can go big. September, we're having 2 meetings. Right? Each one is going to be smaller. You're going to come here and say, where is everybody? Answer, they're in the other meeting. We're small, but why is that? Because we believe God's life can grow big. We believe God's life wants to produce more. We believe God's life wants to grow, God's kingdom wants to grow and reach more people. God's life is like the mustard plant. Equally, you know, the pear is the leaven, the yeast. Yeast spreads. You put a little bit in the dough, it will spread. It will affect the whole thing, right? Invisibly, but effectively, it will produce everything, right? So, first pair, what God can do. Second pair of parables is related to how should we respond? How should we respond to this, right? That was the parable. He said what? The kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds treasure buried in a field. Think about it. A man, maybe he's working or wandering, he finds treasure. This is a right? You can tell. These kind of stories have been around for a long time. In every country, every culture, you have this kind of story. Somebody finds hidden treasure, buried treasure nobody knows about. He discovers it, right? He's the one. The lucky one, right? He doesn't win the lottery. He finds buried treasure, right? You hear these stories. You know, somebody goes to a garage sale and sees a picture, buys a painting for $5. It's a Van Gogh. It's a Picasso. No, probably not. The one you and I go to. It's not, but it happens, right? Buried treasure, stumbling upon this. Okay, in the parable, what does he do? He realizes something valuable is there, and only he knows about it. He figures the one who owns the land does not know. It was a secret to him, a secret to everybody. So he goes. Now he has a point of decision. He realized there's value here, something valuable. I need to make some decision. I have a chance to take action. What does he do? He goes and somehow he figures out who owns the field and he offers to buy it. And to do that, he has to get together cash, raise the capital. He does what he has to do to buy that field in order to get the treasure, right? And he's joyful. He's joyful to do that because he knows there's something there of more value than other people realize. he stumbles upon. It's his lucky day. Second parable, similar. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant, a businessman, and his business is dealing with pearls, precious stones, and he's stumbling around. No, sorry, he's not stumbling around. He's a conscious trader. He's going and he realizes the value of different pearls, and he finds one pearl of great value. He's going around. Sorry, I forgot my props. Let me find my props. Okay, he knows pearls, but then he finds one pearl of great value. Wow, how about that? He finds one pearl of great value. Okay, so he wants to buy it, he wants to possess it, so he's going to turn his other things into cash. He's going to sacrifice his other things, sell his other pearls. Why? Because he realized this one is worth more, right? That's the one I want. That's the one I possess. I want to possess. It's a pearl of great value. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this. If you realize the value, you will sacrifice other things joyfully, joyfully, because you realize what God's kingdom is worth, right? Amen. Do you realize God's kingdom? Do you realize what God's life is worth? It's worth sacrificing other things. You know, we make sacrifices all the time, right? This morning, you could have stayed in bed, horizontal. This morning, you could have gone to the beach. You could have gone to Toronto Island. You could have gone to the cottage. You chose to come here. That's the choice. You sacrifice those other things in order to gain here, what is here? That's the choice. We give up other things to gain something of value. You know, I taught economics for a long time, almost a decade. Class number one says what? There's no such thing as a free lunch. Nothing is free. The thing is, people say free, free what? Free this, free that, free the answer, nothing is free. You want to gain something, it will cost you something. Right? Even there's a line, oh, the first 100 people get something free. You go there. You're number 99. And you wait there 5 hours because you don't want to be number 101. 101 doesn't get it. First 100 people get a free whatever. You go there early in the morning, 3 a.m., you're number 99. And you wait and wait and wait. What is the cost? Your time. You didn't pay money, you paid time. But you paid. You lost the time because you wanted to gain what was so-called free. Everything costs, right? Because everything has, our life is full of choices. Friends, brothers and sisters, God's kingdom is worthwhile. And this parable is saying, whether you find it, some people just come upon it by chance, but they realize the value. Jesus is valuable. What Jesus has to give me, his salvation, living in relationship with God is worthwhile. So I make choices so that I get him. I gain the thing of value and I give up the things of lesser value. Some people stumble on it. Some people are consciously seeking. But when they seek, they find and realize Jesus has value. And the value of what Jesus gives me is worth more than other things. So I gladly give those up to get what is better. Right? You know, on this earth, there are many religions, there are ideologies, there are philosophies, and many of them are helpful to different people in different situations. Jesus has something more. Jesus has something more. So we're not telling you those things have no value. They have value. But what we're saying is, and what Jesus' parable is saying, what Jesus gives to you and I is more. It's more valuable than those other things. So I have a little quote here. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah. Okay, I got it. There are other pearls. Do we have that one? Sorry. Okay, there you go. Here's a quote from a scholar. There are other pearls on the market, has this idea. There are other, quote, pearls, other things of value on the market, other things of great value. That is how some people find the kingdom of God. They try other faiths, religions, many ideologies, and they gain much from them. But one day they find the loveliest thing in all the world, and they give all to gain it. They give those other things up. They find the one pearl of great value. So there are other philosophies, ideologies on the earth. There's Hinduism, there's Buddhism, there's Confucianism, there's Zoroastrianism, you name it. There's New Age. There's a lot of philosophers, there's ideologies. There's yoga, meditation, transcendental meditation, all kind of stuff out there. They have value to some people. However, Jesus is the one pearl of great value. You find this, then you'll give up that. You realize the value of this, you give up that to gain the one pearl of great value. Amen. That's true in the beginning of our Christian life. That's true as we go on. Brothers and sisters, friends, let's make choices that give us what is of the greatest value. We have one life to live. In our life, we make choices where to live, how to live, how to raise our children, what activities we do, what activities we guide them into. But you got to ask, what will give you the thing of highest value? The kingdom of God, the things of Jesus Christ are the things of highest value. Yes, there are other things out there. And what's presented to you in the media and in society is, you know, the great American dream. The great American dream. When you come to North America, look, there was an American dream in the 20s. You like it? It's interesting. In the 20s, they were satisfied with a house like that, right? Small house, right? Husband, wife, two kids. There was American dream in the 1950s. I think we have a picture. Yeah, there you go. It's a bigger house, the better clothes, but same thing. House, car, family, right? Land, okay. There's American dream in 2018. There you go. Notice, no wife. No wife, no kids. You deduce from that what you want. That's just the car and a big house. Are you here? You know, think about it. You and I can spend our life. What are you pursuing? What are you pursuing? You pursuing that? You have a hard time in Toronto. You're in a house like that? Right? Think about it. You're going to have to move way out. Way out. You might have to move to Brantford. You know Brantford? Not Brampton. Brantford. And even there, you might not get it. Right? But you, right? What are we making our decisions based on? If you feel, oh, I need a big house. I need four bedrooms. I need a three-car garage. I need so many washrooms. I need the lot that's 100 by 300. I need a ravine lot, a lake, and whatever. If that's your, okay, if that's what you're seeking, that's to you is a pearl. You're seeking that. My question is, are you missing the pearl of great value? We have to make choices. Sometimes consciously, unconsciously, you have to realize, you know, I found something of value. I found Jesus Christ, and I found a Christian community can make help Jesus be real in my life. I have Christians who support me, right, and help me experience God in my life. Don't sell that cheap, right? It's worth sacrificing your house, four-bedroom house, three-car garage, however many bathrooms, your big lot. It's worth sacrificing that to gain Jesus Christ. It's worth it. It's worth it. You give up things of lesser value in order to get what is of great value. That's Jesus Christ, right? In my life, I reached a certain age. I was working. I had a career. My wife and I, we bought a house. Then we sold that house. We bought another house. Eventually, I told my wife we were happier when we didn't have a house. She didn't remember. That's good. We sold that house and we moved to Toronto. And we lived in a house, not our house, another house. We lived in an apartment with other people. Eventually, we lived in a house. There were 20 people in that house. 20 people, our family, other families, singles, whatever. We lived in that house, right? And we raised our kids there. We raised our family in downtown Toronto, right? Why? Because we felt that knowing Jesus Christ, having a Christian community help us experience Jesus Christ and bring the message of Christ to others was a thing of more value than own your house, have a... Okay, that was our choice, right? We're not saying you have to make the same choice. You follow Jesus Christ, but we're saying we all face choices. Let's make the choice that will give us the thing of highest value. Amen? My children didn't suffer. You say, oh, did you suffer living in it squished in a small apartment? Did you suffer? No, thank you. Just checking. I would say this. If your children can see you place value on Jesus Christ, on the things of God, they'll realize you have found something of value. Why? Because the way you live and the choices you make, right? It's not just the things we say. We may tell them, choose God, choose Jesus Christ. Are you doing that? Make the choice for God. Make the choice for God's interest. Are you doing that? If you're doing that and you say it, your children see it. If you choose the things of highest value, they can see it. It's real in your life. Otherwise, your message and your living don't match, right? Let's make choices for our children. Yeah, there's a lot of programs you can put your kids in. You can schedule your kids day and night. But let me ask you, are you scheduling them time for them to be part of this church life that will give them the things of highest value? It's worthwhile to sacrifice the things of lesser value to gain the things of God's kingdom, things of Jesus Christ. It's worthwhile. Okay, I'm right on time. We're going to pray and then we're going to transition to the Lord's table. Lord, we pray, Lord, help us, Lord, to evaluate our life, Lord, to see what is of you, what is for you, what is of the greatest value. Lord, give us the spiritual eyes. Give us the spiritual discernment. We do want to choose the things of value, the things that really mean something in our life, the things of your kingdom. Help us discern it. Help us make the choice for you, we pray. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.